Come on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny! Do not bob at me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 99 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, April 3rd, 2016. This is Aaron, and in this episode we talk about sweeps, sticks, and slides. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Howdy.
Hey, Jive. Hey. It's nice to have you back in the studio here.
Jive's Yeehaw. Got his howdy going from his right. Staying in Texas. Yeah. That didn't take long to acclimate.
Nope, not long at all.
Y'all.
And tonight, y'all, we're going to party like it's episode 99.
Party like it's 19. Or just 99.
We're episode 99. Do.
Okay. The purple one might sue us on this.
We just got a DMCA takedown notice, I think.
The purple one who comes up to like our beard length.
How many beards tall are you? How many prince beards are you tall?
Oh, boy. Obviously, you know, Jai was in Texas.
Yeah.
Aaron, where were you at?
I was nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was nowhere?
I don't know where you're going with this, but let's
Loserville.
You said, see, you don't know where I'm going with
you're
this.
You're in Loserville, USA. That's where you are.
Flyover country.
Well, right. Speaking of Loserville, let's talk about the wild here.
All right. So, yeah, the week that was. Well, here we go. We started off with the Chicago Blackhawks. The Wild actually took care of them. Like they did for the rest of the season too, and this is actually the first time since 1939
Jive, you remember that year, don't you?
I do. I was
on your first kid.
No, but that was in my first reincarnation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your first marriage.
No, I was a snowflake. So
a beautiful snowflake?
I was actually present. Okay, but anyways, so for the first time since 1939, the Blackhawks were swept for the season series, and in that time they went, 0-8 against the Bruins?
You only had six teams then.
Yeah. So, I mean,
a little while ago.
0-8, though, you when a team's got your number, they've got your number.
The funny thing is I think it was 2 years before that, they did the same thing. It was the Maroons that they went 0-6 against.
The Maroons.
So they had a couple bad years there, but that was back when you'd face
World War II.
That was almost pre-World War II. I mean, 39 is right on the edge there, so.
Yeah.
They still kept records then?
Apparently.
Did they go up to Toronto for the reviews?
Stats never die, man. Stats are that's what how we know what went on. Don't you know? Yeah. So besides that, we also had a minor incident in the chippiness of the game with Duncan Keith,
donkey teeth.
Yeah, he can't take a hit, and apparently he's mad about his teeth, so he was aiming for somebody else's teeth but hit their nose. Duncan Keith, taking a hit, and then when you see it in the slow motion, it looks like he's trying to act like he's getting up, but he swings that stick and hits Coyle in the nose, and
he was trying to make him look like what was it, the dude with the Chevy Chase movie that doesn't have the nose with Demi Moore and the goons.
You always want to bring this movie up.
I love the Nothing But Trouble.
Nothing But Trouble. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure this is at least the second or third time you've brought up that damn movie.
Not
in this
year.
Podcast.
Not this year, though. I think it's the first time this year, and we're on season four, I'm doing okay.
And speaking of nothing but trouble, that's all that Keith has is nothing but trouble, because he did get a 6-game suspension.
That's a vacation right before the playoffs.
And it's not the first time Keith has been in trouble for whacking someone in the face.
Probably won't be the last.
Won't be the last. I mean, he was it? I think it was 2013. 2013. Whack across the face of Jeff Carter in the playoffs.
Right.
And busted up his teeth, his whole grill.
Yep.
Carter was a mess. And that was another case of, you know, Duncan Keith being stupid.
So, yeah, you know, speaking of that, I mean, so Keith is now, he's out for the remainder of the season, which, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks have already secured their playoff spot.
Yep.
And so he'll also miss the first game of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, is that a long enough suspension for this, given the history of what, you know, what Duncan Keith has been doing?
You compare it to the Carter hit, which I think the parallels are pretty amazing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He only got a single playoff game suspension for that Carter hit. And you can make the argument that Carter hit was even worse.
I think that Carter hit was worse. I mean, that was Carter was going in on goal, and rather than just hooking, he went straight for the face on that one.
Carter got a little cute by trying to knock his glove away, Duncan Keith's glove away when it was on the ice. And Keith took offense to that and basically came up from behind. And, you know, I think his argument was that he was trying to hook him or something like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, but apparently he tried to hook his face.
Captain Hook.
I don't know. I think at some point the league has to get serious about this stuff. It's if a star player is the playoffs, you know, it's basically, I hate to use this term, it's like open season, but if you're in the last stretch of the season, you know you're not going to be suspended for a significant amount of time in the playoffs.
No.
If you do something stupid like this.
This is what I find really frustrating. It's like, so he, you know, unpaid vacation, but he gets a vacation leading up to the playoffs to not worry about getting injured, not worried about getting, you know, any type of stress on his body. He misses the first game, woohoo, and all of a sudden, Chicago's got one of their best defensemen back on the ice after having a week and a half off, fully rested.
And
how is that fair to the team that they have to play in the first round?
And he was suspended for 5 essentially meaningless games since they already have a playoff spot
right.
locked up.
Exactly.
I don't think it's right. I think we've seen this before. I want to say with Vancouver, but I can't put my finger on it. Where there, you know, there's been a star player that's suspended right at the end of the season, where it's like the team's basically guaranteed to make the playoffs. So they're going to be kind of, you know, resting up on their guys no matter what.
He may not have been playing anyways.
But I mean, now it's guaranteed he's not going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he comes in well-rested, you know, especially after one game where you got some guys already beating the crap out of each other. You know, you get a fresh set of legs in there. And it's like, how is that fair to the opposing team in the playoffs?
And fair enough. But that said, you do have to have kind of a clear-cut line that says, you know, if you do this, you get this. If you do this, you get this.
And the NHL doesn't do that, though.
Right.
You know?
It's discretionary. And really, in this case, when it's obvious that it's, a repeat offender, somebody who's, you know, known to, you know, kind of play cheap like that.
And the sad part is he's a good player, too,
mm-hmm.
on top of that, which probably lessens, I mean, let's be honest, it probably lessens his actual suspension time.
Right.
He's not Rafi Torres, you know, so he's gets a little bit of slap on the wrist.
He's putting butts in the seats, so we're going to make sure he stays on the ice.
So right. My other question, you know, with this, usually like the suspensions like that, their salary then goes towards the player safety or the players union for injuries and whatnot as players go out. So his game 6 of being out is a playoff game, which they don't get paid for. They get the bonus depending on how far they make it in the playoffs. Is that actually going to cut into his bonus then too?
Don't know.
That's a good question.
I mean, I'm not sure, and I don't know if any of us have actually looked into that far enough.
At the end of the day, though, I really don't care about him losing salary.
No, neither do I.
I care about him not playing or playing. And
I think, yeah.
You know, so we already said he had the Carter incident. He had the incident where he, I think it was an elbowing on Sedin a few years back. He was also involved in that wakey-wakey Bacchus incident a few years back, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the guy's a... He's a D-bag. I mean, let's be honest. He's a D-bag, and
he's
a great player, but he's also a dirtbag, you know? He's a jerk, and he is reckless, and if the league doesn't stand up and punish him realistically...
It's going to continue to happen.
It's going to happen again and again and again.
It's really not punishing the team at this point, either.
No, it's not.
So, I mean, nobody's getting punished for it. I mean, he's losing some money, but
that's and I mean that basically does it, sums it up right there, that, you know, really when all is said and done, all that's being lost here really is some salary. Since he,
what about,
you
some
know,
carrots?
May have been sitting out some games anyways, or resting up for getting ready for the playoffs. Yeah, that said, there's really no. You know, no harm done here, basically.
Right.
Except for Coyle's
nose. No, I think Aaron said it, you know, too, and I think we've all said it. It's slap on the wrist. It's it sucks.
So, you know, but that said, I mean, the Wild still have had the Blackhawks number this year. So if by some grace of God the Wild end up playing the Blackhawks in like a later round of the playoffs. Do you think that, you know, based on what's happened in the regular season here, basically the Wild have just owned them, do you think that can carry over into the playoffs?
No. I'm just going to flat out say it, no.
Wow. Tell us how you really feel, Kenny.
I really don't think that the Wild can beat the Blackhawks in the playoffs. That's how I feel.
It's a different game.
That's how I feel, you know. It's like North Stars versus Penguins in the playoffs. It just it irks me. It saddens me. It drives me absolutely crazy.
So then what you're saying is that the Wild need to get
in a different bracket so the Blackhawks can be beaten by another team, so we don't have to even worry about
them. And then they can win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So they need to be in the basically the Twins against the Yankees. They need to not face that team.
Absolutely. Right?
And see, I'm gonna disagree. I think there's a time in the middle of the season when Hossa was injured and the Wild played Blackhawks and obviously won, where I went, this is really isn't the Blackhawks. Hossa destroys the Wild routinely. And even the last game, who was the one who scored a goal?
Hossa.
It was Hossa.
He's a hoser.
This last game, I think, in particular, made me go, okay, I think the Wild might actually have a chance come a playoff run.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
If you can beat a team that has Hossa, granted they didn't have donkey teeth for two-plus periods.
Two-and-a-half periods.
You know.
Yeah, being short a defenseman, that
and they're already short.
I must say, that does
they're short hinder
a team a little bit.
Right. So. But then again, the Wild lost Spurgeon partway through the game as well.
True.
So, you know... I think
Vanek that game as well.
I would still say that Hossa is more of a notorious Wild killer than Keith, even though Keith actually has done pretty well against the Wild, historically speaking. Mm-hmm. But I think the Wild could have a chance, actually. I'm not so negative as Kenny over here, but...
I'm just going to flat out say no.
And I guess myself personally, you know, I kind of fall somewhere in between both of you two. I feel that
Shives the glue that holds us together.
He's
a jam in our PB&J.
That's why I'm here.
Just because you look like the Gimp don't mean you play like the Gimp.
Whoa.
So, but I guess where I would come from is, you know, I do believe that the Wild obviously have Chicago's number this year. They've found a way time after time under different coaches to pull out wins against the Blackhawks. But that said, the way that the Wild are playing, they do play up a little bit sometimes to maybe some of the upper talent. So,
yeah.
Like,
we lose to Winnipeg, we win against the Blackhawks.
Right.
There's no, it's true, though.
Yeah.
Lose to Ottawa?
So I think that they could possibly do that. Would that be enough to carry them through and be able to win an entire series against the Blackhawks? I'm not convinced.
Right.
But it is possible. I think that it's possible. So, but that said, I mean, talking about losing to teams that, you know, have no playoff hopes, or their playoffs hopes have been dashed. You've got the Wild losing to Ottawa, 3-2.
3-2.
Yep. They lost to Detroit.
Detroit's still fighting to make it in.
Possible.
They're on the edge. They're on the out looking in. Yep. I mean, they're really close.
Honestly,
there.
If I'm going to be disappointed in a team not making the playoffs this year, it's going to be Detroit. I mean, to lose that streak, I mean, this would be the 25th year, 26th yep. year?
This would be 25. Yep.
25 years straight that they've made the playoffs. I mean, that would be kind of, you know, it's a nice streak.
It's getting to be old hat for them. They need a little something changed.
For a city that doesn't have good water to be able to sustain ice, I mean, you gotta go with it.
The water's fine for the ice. Just don't drink it.
Just don't drink it.
Well, the crazy thing is, speaking of Detroit, is you have guys, the young guys on the Wings that have never known the Wings not to be in the playoffs. You know,
wow.
Like I suppose, yeah. You've got guys that aren't even old enough to know when the Wings have not made the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Detroit is kind of the epitome of idiocracy right now. Like, don't drink the water.
Right.
So Detroit, Flint, they're not really the same, but I'll allow it.
Close enough. It's Michigan.
They're close. So, but anyways, and then the Wild did, tonight they wound up, with a big loss to Winnipeg, when they actually had a chance to put a nail in Colorado's coffin for any chance of, overtaking our playoff.
Did you see that ludicrous display last night?
Tonight,
yeah, it should have been tonight.
But with that all said, since Torchetti has taken over, I think with the exception of one game, every single one of their wins has been paired with at least another win, and every one of their losses has been paired with another loss.
Streaky.
Yeah. So will this streakiness of the Torchetti Wild be the ultimate undoing of the team? I mean,
Well, from what I saw, his streakiness has been like four wins or five, and then three losses. Four wins, three losses. That's good enough for playoffs, because it's best of seven. So if you can get four wins and only three losses in a playoff series,
depends where they fall.
Right.
This is true.
If you start with four wins, okay, you win that series, and the next series, you get three losses. So
it's still a plus minus game, and they're still in the plus category.
Yeah, but that means every series would go to seven games. So
yeah.
But hey, if it's a win every series every seven games, that's well worth it.
Well, and I think the streakiness is it's unfortunate because it really overshadows the fact that the Wild have not been able to score consistently, and that really plays a bigger part. I think, you look at these three losses. Two of them are one-goal losses that the Wild could have won had they put their things together here.
Mm-hmm.
The Ottawa game, they were tied late, and rather than playing for 2 points, they were playing for 1 point and just trying to get to the tie, and they kind of turtled.
This is true.
And they basically wasted all their points.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work during the playoffs. I mean, those games mean a lot more, so you can't just be coasting in.
Nope.
Suter-like, You can't just coast into a tie in the playoffs. That doesn't work that way.
You don't get an extra point for, tying.
Nope. And I have to agree with that. But I don't even think that has anything to do with even just a Torchetti era here.
That's the Wild in general. And that's a lot of teams in general.
The players have not changed. Let's be clear here.
Right. And, yeah, we're not putting any more pucks in the net than we had before, you know? And if you want to win the games, you have to score the goals. And, you know, there's going to be days when Dubnyk or Kemper, they're going to be totally on their game. They're only going to give up, you know, one goal or no goals. I mean, we've had several shutouts this year, which is nice out of our goaltending. But, I mean, that said, I mean, you still have to support your goalies even when when they do let in the one fluky goal out of the game.
Well, take tonight. You know, we get one goal. You're going to win very few games scoring one goal, regardless of how good or bad your goalies are playing behind you. You score one goal, you're going to win very few games.
I don't think there's been very many like 1-0 hockey games throughout the NHL this year.
As low scoring as this league is right now, there haven't been many 1-0 games.
Right.
Maybe I think there's been maybe like one or two that have gone to like 0-0 overtime. And then the shootout, but for the most part, yeah, you're not going to see a 1-0 hockey game.
Well, talking about games that are not 1-0 games, you know, tonight the Avs lost. They got destroyed by the St. Louis Blues and now have lost 5 of their past 6. Magic number for the Wild is 2 points, although meaning that either a Wild win or an Avs loss will clinch a playoff spot for the Wild. And I think that that puts the Wild odds of making the playoffs at something like 98.6% or something like that.
Woo-hoo!
It's pretty solid. On the other end, we've got St. Louis, who is currently 2 points ahead of Dallas, or two points behind Dallas. And I think Dallas has got 2 and St. Louis has got 3 games left, something like that. Assuming that the Wild can actually finish off the Avs and, or at least back into the playoffs, who would you rather face in the playoffs at this point, the Blues or the Stars?
Ah! Oh, hey, update on this. Stars lost tonight against the Ducks 3-1.
Yep. But that means St. Louis is still 2 points behind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I must have missed that. Yep. Like, yeah, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Jive, who do you want to see?
For me, I guess I know that we had some luck last year with St. Louis. And I think that if we're going to have our best chance of actually winning that first series, it would be against St. Louis. However, I'm still very, I guess, frightened of either one of those teams. they've got the firepower to score goals.
No doubt.
Which the Wild don't have. You'd love to bring a tight checking game to the table, but the Wild don't have that either. So, yeah. I guess my hope would be for St. Louis, but honestly, my outlook isn't very good for either series.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Look at the way the Wild have played the Stars and the Blues this year. They've played both teams 5 times. Against the Stars, they're 1-1-3. So they're taking the Stars to the overtime most of the time this year.
Okay.
Which is pretty impressive. We know the Wild aren't good in 3-on-3, but the Wild aren't good in 3-on-3, but maybe in overtime with full squad, things change a little.
That's true, because it does go to the full squad OT.
And then the Blues, they're 2-2-1 against. So it's a little more cut and dry with the Blues, but it's basically 500 against both teams if you want to count those overtime losses as a halfsie, you know?
Yeah.
It really would be kind of a toss-up, I think. But I'm going to talk myself out of it now. Despite the Stars, us being 1-1-3 against the Stars, I'd still rather face the Blues. Yeah. I do worry, though, about some of the guys like, you know, Steen. I don't know why, but Steen just seems to score against us. Hmm. And a guy like that kind of worries me. And he missed a few games against us this year. And I worry about that.
I'm sorry to
go ahead
before you get to yours. How about Tarasenko? I mean, aside from aside from Hossa, I almost see him as one of the biggest wild killers. Seems like whenever we play him, when Tarasenko is on the ice, I know he missed out on at least a game or two when the Wild played them this year.
This is true, yeah. Another argument against wanting to face the Blues is the Blues are way more physical than the Wild.
Yeah.
The Wild match up physically against the Stars a little bit better than they do the Blues. Okay. You got someone like Colton Parayko, who's he's like the mountain in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
he's not a guy you want to face off against, and he's had some success against the Wild as well. So, yeah, now I'm talking about myself back to the Stars. I don't know.
Either way, it doesn't look good for the Wild. But, Kenny, what do you think?
I would rather see St. Louis. The thing with the Stars, I mean, the Stars have some of the old Chicago players that would kill the Wild in the previous seasons. And
this is true,
they've been doing it this year as well. I mean, Patrick Sharp has been lighting it up for Chicago.
Oduya is always a pest.
Oduya's a pest. Jamie Benn, who has not been with Chicago,
right,
but who's been with Dallas, has been a huge, yeah, he's been a huge pest to the Wild as well. I think St. Louis, I think we can match up better with St. Louis, and come playoff time, I think when St. Louis tries to get really physical, I think the Wild, you know, we saw last year that they're pretty good about keeping their head down and keeping their noses clean and not digging into the type of play that St. Louis likes to play and beating them at their own game, you know, basically like, you know, being the overly nice team and not getting into the shenanigans that they like to get into.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, that's you saying that. I mean, St. Louis, you know, maybe they like to be physical, and the Wild might not be able to exactly match up physically against them. But we do know that they're also an emotional team that, you know, I think that played a part into the series against St. Louis last year, was a lot of the emotion. I mean, your emotions get away from you, and the game can get away from you as well.
I mean, I just went back, and I'm pretty sure that Jamie Benn has scored at least a goal in 4 out of 5 games and got points in every single game against the Wild this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
No. I mean, you know, I haven't looked at St. Louis to see where they're at, but, Wild have at least been pretty good about keeping some of St. Louis's top players from scoring. Tarasenko will get the one goal every now and again, but I mean, there's been a few times where I know we played them where we've kept their top scorers off the board. We can't do that with Dallas.
Yeah.
We always have the other thing with Dallas is we have a tough time playing Dallas in Dallas.
Well, and just to piggyback off what you said about Ben, he's got 9 points in 5 games against the Wild this year.
Yeah, I mean, so
3 goals, 6 assists. He's a +6.
Is it only 3 goals? I thought I saw goals in 4 of the 5 games, but I could have looked at that wrong.
Yeah, according to Hockey Reference, he's got 3 goals in 5 games,
wow,
but he's also got 6 assists. So he's involved in the scoring.
And he's been on the score sheet every game against the Wild.
Yeah.
And who doesn't he have a point against, really?
This is also true. Mainly East Coast teams where he's only faced them twice.
Right.
But this is also true. Actually, there's only 3 teams, and all of them are East Coast.
There you go.
So, yeah.
He's been a beast for the Stars.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be fun to see the Stars in the playoffs. I mean, don't get me wrong. Old Minnesota versus New Minnesota. You know, there's something special about that, but I don't want to see them first round.
No. Especially not the way that the Wild appear to be, you know, getting into the playoffs here. They're kind of, if we go back to the Chicago game, was that the Chicago game where Dumba lit up
Dumba lit up Kane?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like Dumba coming in there hitting Kane, and we're back
in. That was the previous game.
We're backing in like Kane kind of just falling backwards, you know, after that hit from
Or like any other Minnesota franchise in any sport ever.
Right.
Well, coming out of that Chicago game, though, Vanek ended up taking a bad cross check.
From Svedberg.
Yeah, I mean,
he got up and you could tell he was hurt right away because he was like, It must have been an arm or something.
There was that whole string of just like non-calls during that game with bad checks and bad hits.
Yep.
Well, Vanek's been out since then. You know, according to Russo on Vanek, you know, watching him walk and simply get out of a chair, Vanek is in real discomfort. So, I mean, he's out with an upper body injury. He's been out for a while.
Broken ribs.
It could very well be. Yeah. You know, the other with injuries, I mean, you know, Vanek's been out and Vanek's been pretty quiet lately.
I mean, he's scratched for half the games, but so that probably adds to it.
Which is unfortunate because, I mean, I liked him at the beginning of the season. He looked like he was actually had some promise, but he's very much turned into the Heatley of last year.
Yeah, but you look at these last few games when he's been hurt, we're losing. So it's, careful what you wish for, right?
Exactly. The other one that's been out right now is Spurgeon. He's out with a lower body after blocking a shot from Ryan in the Ottawa game. So, you know, we got those two out. Carter's not on the trip. Or he wasn't on the trip to Winnipeg tonight, earlier today, after his wife gave birth to their third child. Which, I mean, I think we were talking pre-show. You should know when and when not to impregnate your wife during the hockey season. And you should not be doing it at the beginning of the season.
Right here.
Up to potential playoffs.
Here we are 9 months
later. That's what she said.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing when you're supposed to be getting ready for the season?
Third child. I mean, yeah. He should know how long that a wife is pregnant with their kid.
Yeah. Maybe he's not used to playing on a playoff-bound team.
Well, there is that.
Or he uses my form of birth control.
The pull-out method seemed to work for you really well. So, you know, if Vanek or Spurgeon is playoff time, I mean, will it hurt the Wild?
I think that Vanek actually is a definite bonus for the team to have, especially come the playoff times. I think that, you know, being that he is the veteran, I think that it's important to have that type of, leadership around the team, if that's what you want to call him. I mean, I know he's not the great leader, but still, there's guidance that comes,
there's some
comes through.
Veteran respect that comes through, and some like general leadership.
Yeah, knowing how it is, and you've been there.
Well, it's an easy argument. You look at the last three games, the Wild scored 5 goals over those 3 games, and Vanek wasn't there. Not that I'm some big Vanek backer.
He's a feeder, though.
He can be. Yep. You know, he can also be a turnover machine on his little no-look drop passes to no one. But he does seem to be involved with the play at the very least.
Yeah.
And you look at, like, at tonight's game with Zucker, he was involved, but he wasn't really. I mean, I could see Zucker being a scratch, you know. I could see Torch using Zucker and Vanek and probably like Schrader and moving those three guys, cycling those three guys, whoever's hot, come the playoffs, you know, through the scratch spots. I could see him just kind of working those three around. And plus even some of your grinder guys like Davy Jones and, you know, Carter and Stoll. So I think having him in the mix, you want to be able to push him, but you want him to be healthy because we know a hurt Vanek does no one any good.
Right.
And Spurgeon, we need a healthy Spurgeon.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's been hurting right now. Yeah, I think that's been hurting our decor.
Big. Yeah, he's a big piece of the defensive group back there. And, you know, without him, I mean, I know tonight. against Winnipeg, I know we were sorely missing him. I mean,
the Suter trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we needed some more help defensively.
You know, Suter needed to not. The Wild seem to do better when Suter isn't skating 100 minutes a night. You know, and missing
Spurgeon helps take up some of those minutes.
Because really, what you're asking Torch is, do you want to skate Suter over Prosser? And as much as we dog on Suter, Suter's better than Prosser.
Well,
you know,
I mean, if you look at Suter tonight, though,
everyone has bad nights, though.
This is true.
I mean, and I don't think Suter had a very good game. I think he had a bad game. But, you know, if I'm going to give two extra minutes, I've got 2 minutes left at the end of the game, I'm probably giving him to Suter over Prosser.
Agree.
You know, and that's just being realistic here. I mean, let's not say Suter's some sort of great player that we should be bowing down to. He's a good, solid player, but he plays too many minutes. And
his contract would say otherwise.
His contract is going to be the anchor hung around Chuck Fletcher's neck going into the future. That's going to really...
Can I use that for my boat?
I got some old PCs you can use.
You might have to fight with Flavor Flav for that one.
So yeah, no, I think Vanek is gonna hurt being gone just for the veteran leadership. You know, kind of agreeing with both of you. Spurgeon, I think we just miss him in general. Just as Aaron was saying, just to kind of take up some of that time and to help even out some of the play.
And he's another one that you know. Defensively has actually got, you know, a little bit of offensive power as
well. He's got a nice slap shot on him.
And, I mean, he's put some goals in.
Absolutely.
He knows how to play up and get into the play. So I know that the Wild definitely miss some of that stuff.
Well, I think, should we see what the people want to ask us?
Yes, let's
go. What do the people have to say?
Let's go to Twitter Talk.
So our first question from Twitter Talk comes from at State of Hockey News, Nostra Derek Felska, and he wants to know what arena fan behavior is the most annoying? Is it maybe the Chicago Whistler or Calgary's lame?
I got so many lame
home guy to the
horn guy.
Okay.
Horn guy. Sorry,
I know me and you are going to be on the same ones. So pick one.
What was the question?
So who is the most annoying?
What arena behavior?
Yeah, the most annoying fan or behavior for an arena.
Pick one. I got two, and I'm pretty
sure. I'll let you go first.
I'm going to say pounding on the glass. That just hurts me.
Okay, so we're just going behavior in general. Okay.
In general.
Well, and I got to say, the Calgary horn, it sounds like a car horn. I don't know how a car horn would get people pumped up. If anything, it would make you really peeved off. It's like, well, except for that. You know, the Dukes of Hazzard might be okay.
If you're in Atlanta, oh, wait, they don't.
You know, it's like, it's the dumbest thing in the world. The other one would be the wave, which we saw tonight.
Aww.
Yeah, see, it's like you only take
one.
You just
stole mine.
The wave
Aaron takes two, Jive misses out.
The wave is annoying as all get out.
Agreed. Watch the damn game.
And I feel the same way when people start doing it at the Twin Stadium. You know, if you don't want to watch the game, go somewhere else.
Go have a beer.
Right.
Why can't you do both?
Well, you can.
Have a beer and watch the game.
And do the wave?
No, that's three.
Because you'll spill beer on somebody.
So, okay.
We got pounding on the glass.
Pounding on the glass.
The wave.
The wave. What about...
The Vazuzulas.
I was going to say the Woo guy. Where would he rank in the...
Well, he's a football fan, so he doesn't count. That's a football game. That doesn't count.
Yeah, Vuvuzelu. Like
the
you were
Vuvuzelu
saying,
that was
soccer.
They brought him into the. There's been a couple of hockey games where they've been at.
Oh boy,
that's all.
And you can't tell me there's never been a Woo guy at a hockey game.
Yeah.
No, we were Boo guys.
Oh, I will give you another one. The guy who's on the camera side of the arena, who stands up in the middle of play and looks at the camera like, hey, guys, I'm on TV. Those are annoying as well.
Or the one that keeps putting his fist right in front of the camera lens.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't need to see that.
Don't be bitter just because you guys aren't there.
Okay, we got another question from Derek here. What brand or kind of beer would you use to rate the quality or lack thereof of the NHL suspension of Duncan Keith.
Oh, crap! What was the I damn it! The one beer that the
Steel Reserve.
Steel Reserve. Thank you. The absolute worst tasting. I guess you could almost say best hangover I ever had.
I'm gonna go
or worst.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go with the Colt 45. You know, because. You know, you might as well go murder somebody with a Colt 45. It doesn't matter because you're only going to get six games.
And see, I'm going to go with Bud Light.
That was my default answer was going to be
it's not
that.
You're still drinking beer.
Kind of.
It could be worse, but you're still not satisfied. That's what I'm going to go with is Bud Light.
You're not satisfied. It could be worse.
Steel Reserve.
Steel Reserve.
That's right.
Steel Reserve is the worst beer ever.
Well,
I think that...
I'm pretty sure if you go back to Nazi Germany, Hitler created Steel Reserve.
That's who did it.
He failed out of art school and then created Steel Reserve.
Hey, Aaron, is our video still online with our taste test?
No.
Oh, yeah?
No,
yeah.
It's not.
We need to get that back up.
I'm probably invoking Godwin's Law here by stating Hitler. But I'm pretty sure Hitler created Steel Reserve. It is the worst beer ever.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
No, it's not. So anyways, so Teresa Ferris at MN Soda 24 asks us, seeing clips of the Blues Avs game, does Wah need anger management or Tums?
Here it comes.
You know what he needs? Visine. blink, blink, blink. It's like when you watch him, it's like he's thinking, I've got to blink. Blink. It's like really slow, like concentration on blinking.
Maybe I blink every time he blinks because I never see him blink. It's always like eyes wide open. Like the Creed song. Except for arms, it's eyes.
The fact that you know that kind of worries me, but.
Oh. Where's our sample?
I think you need a sample that says, I've said too much.
So, my choice there would have to be Tums, because I feel that Wah has got to be, you know, feeling a little sick and ill with his team. Even worse than how Torchetti must be feeling about how his Wild are failing him here down the stretch, because, you know, the Wild... You know, they're basically being done favors by the by the Avs there.
Well, if you include the overtime losses as just normal losses, the Wild are on under 500. And they're going to be a team that's under 500 going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But still better than any Canadian team.
Well, they are Canadian, so.
Eh?
Eh?
Eh.
Kenny, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Tums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just needs to settle his stomach.
He just needs to settle his
stomach. Settle his little tummy down.
I don't know. I mean, I think Juan needs something. I think he just needs therapy in general. But, I mean, you got a goalie coaching a hockey team who pulls his goalie with, like, almost a half a period left, only down by 3 goals, instead of letting his offense do it. Either A, he absolutely has no trust in his offense, or B, he has absolutely no idea what he's doing behind the bench. All I know is he cannot beat the Wild to save his life, whether it's been when he's been in goal or on the bench. So he might just need to move up to the office.
All right. Okay, last question we got is from State of Hockey, and that's at Mini Puck 2027. Yakupov, and that's Neil Yakupov. Any interest this offseason? If you don't realize it, he's already requested a trade, or requested a trade.
He was one of 4 first-round picks by Edmonton.
Right. You know, but he was also in a weak draft year, so it's like, you know, how much you want to value that number one overall pick that year. I mean, because if you look at the draft year, it was a pretty thin year. But do we have any interest in him this year, this offseason?
Interest, yeah, maybe. I'm going to probably say... Do they do anything? No. Just because, you know, he's been good, but he hasn't shown that much promise that he's worth moving some of the more veteran guys for. You know, he might get better with age, like a, you know, like a fine wine, but as he says right now, I'm going to say let him be.
And that's, you know, I'm going to have to kind of agree with Kenny. I think that, you know, more of the, what the Minnesota Wild need to concentrate on this offseason is to find some, you know, veteran and proven, you know, firepower that are going to score goals. I mean, we need to, you know, as we mentioned earlier, we need to put the puck in the net. And, you know, I don't necessarily know that younger talent is the answer. I think we need to know what we're going to get.
Well, and I will agree with you that the Wild need some scoring. And I don't know that veteran presence is going to do it, because I don't think the Wild have the cap space to do that. But at the same point, I don't think Yakupov is the answer. He's got 108 points in 250 games with Edmonton in his career.
It's better than a lot of the Wild players.
It is, and he's young still. But he's. I just don't see, you know, come next season, he's going to be 23. I don't know that we should be spending anything of value on.
Is that
right? Where would he fit into on our team in general anyways? I mean, would he be able to get those minutes that he would be looking for to try to score that many points?
Is that a consensus amongst the three of us saying that we don't want a fairly decent player on our team?
That allegedly decent.
Allegedly decent.
Because
he's been playing with Edmonton, so we don't know his full potential.
But he's not even a point every two game player. So to think that he's going to change once he gets here,
right,
that would be foolhardy. That's full,
yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth. We almost jinxed each other on that one. So are three of us in agreement that it's like a nix on Yakupov?
Yeah.
I think it's a consensus.
We have a quorum.
If Fletcher went and picked him up, per se,
we'd have to be on the cheap.
Would we argue with it?
He's getting paid $2.5 million. I don't know that I want to spend that money on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. So Fletcher's probably not even going to do it.
I don't even know if Fletcher will have the chance.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's a good point.
let's talk about some upcoming stuff, eh?
Woo-hoo!
So, let's get into the game of the week.
How about we talk about the games coming up?
Okay.
Go for it, Kenny.
Let's talk about those first.
We got two games left.
Go for it.
This week.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Sharks here.
Yes.
Saturday. Flames here.
Yes.
Woo-hoo!
Game of the week.
Jive.
Jive.
What game?
That last game of the season.
Will that be the game where the Wild finally clinch things?
That's the game where they go up in flames.
Ooh.
Yes, the Wild will finish off the season against the Calgary Flames. And let's see what you guys think about how the Wild will fare in this final game of the season as the Wild take on the Calgary Flames at home.
At home. Actually, the last two games are both at home. Yeah. So, you know, there is that.
Yeah. Aaron, how are you feeling about this game?
I think the Wild will have this one. They're about due to go back into a winning streak based on Torch's history. And I think it's going to be
do you want this winning streak to start right now then? Because based on what Kenny says,
I don't have a choice.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's 4-3.
Right. But if we start out,
that doesn't matter.
4, that means we win our first two.
We lose three. And then we win the last two.
Two. And then we would win
the first two.
Two. Lose three.
Then we win. So it doesn't matter. Well,
they're getting tired along in there somewhere.
it's a 4-3 relation. It's all good no matter what.
Well, I think it's going to be a dominating performance by the Wild.
Dominating.
They're going to dominate so hard. Johnny Hockey is going to be skating in circles and...
Just doing skating drills, you're saying?
Yeah. Then? Yeah, okay. He's not going to know what's going on. He's going to be dazed.
Okay.
The Wild are going to win 6-1.
That's what I like about those high school girls.
They're going to blow them out.
Kind of like the last game against Backstrom.
Kenny, how are you feeling this game's going to come out?
Well, this time around, I think they're going to have Backstrom in again.
Uh-oh.
I think Backstrom's going to be like, you know what, you guys, I gave you your opportunity last time. You know, I gave Parisi his hat trick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I almost gave, was it Spurgeon?
Woo-hoo!
His hat trick? No, who had two goals? D.
Yeah, it was Spurgeon. Well,
Spurgeon
yeah.
had two goals. It's like, I tried giving Spurge his, and he just couldn't bury the... He couldn't put the biscuit in the basket on the third one. This time around, I think Backstrom's going to come out and be like, this is what you guys are missing. And I predict him getting a shutout. I'm going to go Calgary 3-0.
Wow. Backstrom is going to laugh,
get a shutout,
laugh in the face of the Wild and shut him out the last game of the season.
And all those a-holes that were, you know, Backstrom, he's going to, like, put his stick right up there behind.
Wow. That is that's a powerful statement there.
Straight out of Nostradamus' mouth.
I can't disagree with you here. I'm thinking that the game, number one, at that point, will probably not make a difference in the Wild's playoff sure. implications.
The Avs are going to lose before that, right?
Right. So
they got a tough schedule.
The Wild can continue to just kind of fall backwards into the playoffs, and they're going to go ahead and they're going to pull out a final loss at home this season to the Flames.
I'd agree with you, but you don't know anything about pulling out.
Oh man, you are bad. But anyways, I think that the Flames will end up beating the Wild, but I do think that it will actually go to OT. You know, sometimes those non-playoff teams, they can get a little bit scrappy at the end. You know, they're playing for a little bit of pride at least.
Sure.
And you know, guys are wanting to make sure they've got a team to play with next year. So,
right on.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the Flames are going to beat the Wild 3-2.
All right.
So we got two Flames and a Wild.
Wow.
I think this is one of the very few times where we've actually been against the Wild?
No. that look back at the areas here. We're all over the place. All
right.
So, you know, there you have it. We have the game of the week. Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find me at about.me/IamKenny. That is K-E-N-N-E-Y with all of my Twitter and Instagram links and stuff like that.
And Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
You can check me out. I'm on about.me/HeyJive.
And as for myself, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks everyone for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Three in the Box. If you got questions for us, send us those tweets and hashtag 3ITB, and we'll probably read them on our show here. And you can listen to our podcast on our website, 3inthebox.com, or through your favorite podcast player. And next week we got our special 100th show. We'll have a few guests on here. We haven't nailed down who all is going to be here, but it's going to be a big show.
Here it comes.
And we'll be, hopefully we'll be celebrating a Wild playoff berth, and we'll be able to talk a little bit about Wild playoff hockey.
Let's hope so.
Let's do this. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Hello!
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.